The last three, the last 3 days in a nutshell.
See if we can get ready. And we'll shut off our phones, yeah?
Oh, good point. Hang on. Undo that. Let's see. Oh, that's good. That's his call. Shut off. Anyway. Can you still hear me?
Okay. You were setting up the Skype?
Yeah, there it looks like there was two people out. There was Scott and Yehuda. I know there's just Yehuda, but that's still.
Okay.
He was asking questions.
We lost somebody on the way?
He was about to come in. Oh, Scott's back. All right. We got two virtual participants and two actual participants. So, that's decent.
I guess we're going to need a Mishnah Berurah.
Yes. We want to start with the Mishnah Berurah today.
And I now fully understood the problem with my Mishnah Berurah. It's Mishnah Berurah Menuchah. And you know how some of them say Surat Hadaf? So I got that clear. My Mishnah Berurah, I can only find you when you say the Seif Katan. But otherwise, the Mishnah Berurah can fall on a different place on the day. So different page.
So we're going to turn to Shin Yud Ches, yeah?
No problem.
Okay.
Yeah, Shin Yud Ches.
Okay.
What was it, Seif Gil?
I think it was Seif Dalet, if I'm not mistaken, on page 268. We can start actually from the beginning of Seif Dalet on page 267. And we'll but is there any way you could turn off the sound? Okay, great. Okay.
Oh, wait, who do you gotta listen?
Yeah. Tavshil Shin is Bashal called Sarko, Yeshua Shin Bishal and it's Tanin. Okay, this is not for us now. And then he says the following. Dovar Shin is Bashal Kvar Vahu Yavesh. So we're talking about your case of that schnitzel that's in the fridge. It's already fully cooked. It's dry. Mutal shroso bechamin b'shabbos. Again, you have to look for a way in which it wouldn't get the schnitzel soggy, obviously. But you're allowed to do shriya bechamin. You can heat it up in hot water. And what does this mean, shriya bechamin? So if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah number Lamed Gimel, he says, afilu b'kli rishon roseach. You've got a kli rishon that was once on the fire, and it was removed from the fire. It's got boiling hot water in it. And guess what? You're allowed to put your food that's already been cooked into this kli rishon. As long as it was removed from the fire. And again, the reason for this is because ein bishal achar bishal, meaning even though kli rishon is mevashel, but nevertheless, here it was already cooked before Shabbos.
I was just thinking, if you put your schnitzel in a plastic bag, and
yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. You'll have to find a way that it shouldn't get soggy. I leave it to your imagination. Okay. And then he says, the Mishnah Berurah adds, avalo yitno, Lekli Rishon Sha'omed Al Gabi Aish. But if the Kli Rishon is on the fire, that already looks like Bishul. And if you take a look in the Sha'at Siyun, he quotes this halach in the name of Elio Rabbah, Mivnech Yesh Machmirim Diala Aish Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. Now again, until now, we've assumed that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul only applies if somehow the second Bishul improves upon the first Bishul. Like for example, if the first Bishul reached Kimaycha Ben Josai, and now he cooks it again and it reaches Kol Tzarko. He seems to be assuming that even though it's already Mavushal Kol Tzarko, and putting it into this pot on the fire is not going to really add anything in the Bishul, but nevertheless it's awesome. And I'm not sure if he means it's also midaraisa because yesh bishul achar bishul, even if the second bishul doesn't add anything, that's a new shita that we're not familiar with. Or perhaps he means that the second bishul will add something, maybe it's mitzamik v'yofalo. Or perhaps he's talking about an isa derabbanan of yesh bishul achar bishul. It's not a doraisa of yesh bishul achar bishul. Then he writes, V'imu dover yoresh shalon is bashal ufnei Shabbos. So you're talking about something that's raw. Ein shorino so bechavin b'shabbos. Because kli rishon is mevashel. So therefore, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to be mevashal something that's raw. And the language of the mechaber is a little bit confusing to me because it says, "Ein shorin oso bechamin v'shabes." It sounds like it's only an isur d'rabbanan. You know, it's not something that you should be doing. I would have gone a step further and said, "Well, if it's raw, then you might be dealing with a d'oraisa." Now, if you take a look again in the Shara Tziyun Mem Vav, he says, "V'od diyesh bo zeh mishum chashash chazora." So here for sure he's talking about a Darabonon, and we said that Chazora is only allowed in certain restricted conditions, and here those conditions have not been met. Now we turn to page 268 and we want to know what you can do, what you're permitted to do with raw food. And he says, "Avol madichin oso bechamin b'shabes." And the Mishnah Berurah here in Lamed Hei says, "Hainu shema'ore aleha olav mikli sheni." Whose sheet is the Mishnah Berurah reflecting here? Remember the machlok shini Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam? This is Rabbeinu Tam, because he's only allowing you to pour out from a kli sheni. The Rashbam allowed you to pour out from a kli rishon. But it's interesting. He has some sort of a source for another halacha here, another, shall I say, principle in Hilchos Bishul, which we're not familiar with. And this principle comes from Yoredeya. He quotes it on the bottom of the name of the Tosefis Shabbos v'Sharach Ronin. And what do they say? They say Kli Rishon, mi Kli Rishon Osur Laros Olav. Now, what's the problem of Kli Rishon? So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you're talking about Bishul Doraisa, but he's not going in that direction. He's saying something that's, shall we say, midway between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, and he's saying the Iru Kli Rishon Mevashel Kedei Klipa. Now, Kedei Klipa means that it penetrates into the surface level of the food. There's a bishul on the outside of the food, and the rest of the food, the rest of the substance, is not cooked.
Doesn't that show you that in Yoredeya they're like choshesh for Rabbeinu Tam's shita of Iru Kli Rishon?
I'm not sure. This may be a third shita that's not Rabbeinu Tam, and it's not Rashi. Meaning, Rabbeinu Tam would say it's a complete bishul in Iru Kli Rishon, because Iru Kli Rishon has the same status as Kli Rishon. The Rashbam would say that Iru Kli Rishon is Kli Sheni. But here we have a shita right down the middle that says, yes, there is bishul in an Iru Kli Rishon situation, but it's not a full-fledged bishul. It's only a bishul of Kedei Klipa. And that's a principle that applies in Yoredeya as far as Blias Iser is concerned, and the Mishnah Berurah is applying it, extending it here to Hilchos Shabbos. As I would have said to you that maybe there's a chumrah in Blias Iser of Kedei Klipa, whereas in Shabbos we're just operating with categories of Bishul. We're not operating with categories of Kedei Klipa. Kedei Klipa is a Blia halacha, it's not a Bishul halacha. But he's assuming, no, that according to this Shita, we have here a full-fledged Bishul up until Kedei Klipa, meaning it's only, Kedei Klipa is the Tilas Etzpa, you know, the thickness of a finger. That's how much Bishul there is. But at least as far as that Kedei Klipa, there's a full-fledged Bishul, and he may be even talking about a Bishul Doraisa, I don't know. So therefore he rejects Iri Kli Rishon. Okay, fine. What about Shriya in a Kli Sheni? That for sure should be Mutter, unless we're going with a Mechsei Kimavashal situation that we discussed yesterday in Rabbeinu Tam. He says, "V'hu adin d'shari laros miklisheni al gabi dovar lach sonin da'avilek ha'docha bi'alma." Okay, here he wants to discuss the issue of pouring hot water into cold water. And he says that the same kula that permits us to pour hot water from a klisheni onto food, onto solids, applies even as far as liquids is concerned. Now, in the middle of this Mishnah Berurah, he writes, "Kamo shekasuv b'sif yud." So let's see if we can fast forward to page 272, the bottom line. And also, litein tavlin b'ka'ara v'laros aleha mikli rishon. So now we're talking about tavlin, which are spices. Now, I don't know if spices fits into the category of kalei abishul, and it's very easy to cook spices, and therefore we have to be more machmir in the laws of bishul with regard to tavlin, or just the reverse is true. Tavlin is lekula, not lechumra, because tavlin is not something that's normally cooked. You know, you add it to a food substance that's cooking, and it enhances the taste, but it's not, the tavlin themselves are not really subject to cooking. Any cooking, in the case of tavlin, might be a derabanan, but it's not the real McCoy bishul. And if you take a look here in Mishnah Berurah, number Ayin Dalet, on the Mamish at the end of the page, he writes, the af, the tavlin ein mizbashel b'kli sheni. Wow. So again, he's activating the principle here of Kdei Klipa in the case of Tavlin. And he says the Tavlin, even in the case of a Klisheni, you can't cook Tavlin. Whatever that means, we have to see, because probably it means because it's not a Bishul Chashuv. But yet he says that Iri Kli Rishon already is an act of Bishul, and it's not permissible even in the case of Tavlin. But what I'd like to know the answer to the question is, if you have raw meat, are you allowed to soak them in a Kli Sheni? He says, Madichin Oso Bechamin B'Shabbos, which he says means Ma'ara Olav Mikli Sheni. He's implying, I think, that to allow it to soak in a Kli Sheni would not be permissible. Then he's going straight with Rabbeinu Tam from the beginning to the end. You see, I thought he was saying that although we don't accept Rabbeinu Tam, but we have to worry about Kdei Klipa in the case of Iri Kli Rishon. And that was a separate chumra with a third shita, perhaps, that's midway between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. But then when he goes a step further, and he says that you're not allowed to soak this meat, this raw meat, in a Kli Sheni, that sounds like Rabbeinu Tam, straight from beginning to end. Now, I asked you to look in the Bir Halacha. Does anybody remember which Bir Halacha? Just give me 1 second, Shmuel, I'll be right back. We just want to get the place. Which Bir Halacha did I ask you to look at? Did anybody make a note of it? Otherwise, I have to go back to my original.
The Hadaktan.
Yeah, okay, great. Go ahead, Shmuel. The floor is yours.
The last. Where was that last Mishnah Berurah you mentioned?
The last Mishnah Berurah about what? About Kdei Klipa in the case of Tavlin? No. Then we mentioned.
In a
Kli Sheni. That's the Mishnah Berurah here in Lamed Hay on page 268, line number 3, where he says that. Lamed Hay.
Okay,
and he says here, "V'hainu shema'ara olav mikli sheni." He's not allowing you to soak it in a kli sheni, because the language of the mechaber is madichin oso rather than shorin oso. See, according to the Rashbam, you would be allowed to do shri in a kli sheni, because the Rashbam holds even iri kli rishon is allowed, and certainly shri in a kli sheni is allowed. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, even shri in a kli sheni is forbidden. And that was the Mexican Mevashel. And that's the way the Mechaber, according to the Mishnah Berurah, at least seems to say it. Okay, now we're up to Kali Abishal. Yeah, David.
Just a halakhic question. Cold cup of coffee. Let's avoid tea, because that's problematic. A cold cup of coffee. Can I go straight to the kumkum and add hot water to warm up my coffee? Or is that, like, we just talked about warm
water? Okay,
so
let's try to see. The kumkum is a Kli Rishon.
Right.
And we
on the fire.
And it's on the fire. Now you pick it up in order to pour. I'm assuming
off the fire. It's a kumkum, so it's an electric urn.
Oh, so that's even more chum. Well, right. let me go even a step further. Right. Let's say I don't think you would be even allowed to pour off the water from the kumkum and pour that hot water into cold coffee. Why? Because that already becomes iri kli rishon. Right. Well, now let's think about it. Maybe I'm wrong about that. In the case of the water. So again, let's go through two cases. T- to take your cup of coffee and put it under the spurn. Yep. Is that how you say it, the spurn?
The spigot, the tap.
That for sure would be awesome. Mm. Okay. What we're allowing now is to pour the water into an empty kli, and now that kli becomes a klisheni. If it becomes a klisheni, I would not be allowed to pour my cold coffee into the klisheni, but I would be allowed to do the reverse and pour my cold klisheni into the cup. Because if I do it that way and I take the cold coffee and pour it into the hot water, which is a klisheni, then I have the problem of Rabbeinu Tam of shri of a klisheni. But if on the other hand I pour from the klisheni, that's already eerie klisheni, that I'm allowed to do. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah went out of his way to say, that this halacha applies to liquids as well.
Yes.
Let's just review that in the Mishnah Berurah one more time. And the Mishnah Berurah is where? Where did he say liquids? Because I lost the place.
You had cold coffee. I still ice coffee.
Yeah, here it is.
In winter?
Yeah.
You're a tough guy.
He says, "Vahu adin again." Just to repeat, the shari laros mi klisheni agavi dover lach tzonin. Okay, that's what you want to underline for your case of the cold coffee. Let's go back to the mechaber. Chutz, what's the exception to this rule? Min amaliach hayosha min adog shenikra espinon she'enam tzrichim bishol el mi'at. And that's really the subject of our discussion for today. Vadachosam higmar malachtam. So this was a sugi that we did on Lamites about Kaliyat Bishul.
The Prima Gadim we enjoyed.
Okay, Prima Gadim about Meleches Makom Patish. And the two cases that are given here are basically salted fish and then a certain kind of fish that's easily cooked. So we go through the Mishnah Berurah Lamed Vav, and he says, "Dog maluach shel shana she'avra." And Kuli says, "Pinon u'shem dag she'ochel osel machas milcho al yedei hadocha bechamin." Now again, this comes back to my discussion with David from yesterday about what is this hadocha bechamin accomplish? Is it just removing the salt, or it's making the fish edible because the fish needs a certain minimum amount of cooking? We don't know. In the language of the Mishnah Berurah, you can't tell one way or the other.
I liked your interpretation that it was softening.
Right.
It was not just removing the salt to make it edible, but also like softening it.
That's what I think is the pshat. But again, I know you quoted Dr. Artscroll here.
He put his cooking, it's like cooking, but it's not,
Right, so I don't know exactly what he means by that.
Pickling.
He says, yes. So Rav Osa, let's just finish this Mishnah Berurah because we have a lot to cover today. V'alkein afilu hadocha nami lo. So this is interesting, because we're talking about klisheni, okay? And this is going to be the whole subject of today's shiur. Dr. Joel was very upset about this yesterday, that how could you have a klisheni that's mevashel if in Kol HaTorah that's not considered bishul? That's going to be the subject of our discussion today and the essay that I photocopied for you. But let's just see if the Mishnah Berurah tells me anything. He says that Al kena filu hadocha nami lo, even to soak it, or for that matter to pour a klisheni on top of it, right? That's hadocha. We're talking about hadocha from a klisheni. Shezeu gmar malachtav avi bishul. He's not going with the prima gadim. He's calling it bishul. The east now, and right away he answers the question that's on our minds: is this a doraisa or is this some sort of drabbanon? It's very difficult to assume that there's a drabbanon in a case of eerie klisheni. That's already too far to say mixe kemavasha. The isa gemara to be dichon bechavin chayiv chatos. So we're talking about full fledged bishul, a violation of maluchas bishul doraisa. So Rabosai, if I had a quiz question and I asked you, under what circumstances could you find a hasra to a person who's pouring klisheni onto food and he's going to be chayav skila do rice if he violates an hasra, pouring from a klisheni? And the answer is Kali Abish. Mind-boggling. A person will be put to death for this if he does it. Amazing. Of course, he's talking about a shogging situation. He's chayav chatos. V'hinei kama achronim. If you look at the bottom here, he quotes Eliyahu Rabbah and the Prisha, Tosaf Shabbos, Maksa Shekel. Kosvu de teva shel elu, the nature of these kinds of fish, is she'ein yecholim la'ochlo kol zman shelo hudach bechamin. That your process of soaking them or rinsing them off, you know, pouring from a klisheni, is absolutely necessary to make it edible. Before you did this process of adocha b'chamin, it would not be edible. Otherwise, you don't understand why you'd be chayv chatas for this. You know, you're not chayv chatas for something that's already edible. L'chor. V'alkein hadocha shalahem chashiva bishul. Dimashvei le'ochel. I would underline those 3 years. Dimashvei le'ochel. This is lumbness of the first echelon lumbness. He's saying that if you take something that's not edible and you make it into edible, that is meleches bishul.
Isn't this a reason to start thinking about being machmir with the frozen schnitzel issue? It may not be edible when you are...
Oh, you mean because it's frozen, you mean?
Yeah.
Ah.
We were arguing about this. It's frozen.
I don't
frozen
think that I don't
cold in the fridge.
No, you know, frozen food. You know, might be another problem. You might be mevashel the ice on the outside, but I don't think there's bishul on the.
You leave
the
it
food
alone long enough, it might be contaminated. Yeah.
I think the Eskimos eat frozen stuff. No, I'm just kidding. He says, "V'u'adin shar dover maluach kayotze b'zeshen yichom lechlo b'li hadoch." He says it's not just these two fish. It applies to anything that's not edible because it's so salty and you need hadocha, and that hadocha becomes bishul. What if you don't need the bishul to make it edible? Again, it's right now it's unedible, but I don't need to cook it to make it edible. I can just as well place it and soak it into cold water. Ein isol adicha b'chamin. Now I'm allowed to do this rinsing them off with hot water from a kli sheni. Ulefi zeh. Now he wants to conclude something about herring. Shemukomenu shenikra herring. Dag maluch is called herring. Sheyacholim lochlo al yidei adochas sonanim. I don't know how he knows this. I guess he did an experiment, and he said that if you rinse off the fish in cold water, it's perfectly edible. Lefavim ach b'li adoch. You might even be able to eat it as is. It's salty. Mutal adicho ach b'mayim cham, and you're allowed to pour hot water from a klisheni onto the fish. And again, because herring was a mainstay back in Litta, my father came from a town that was not far from Radin. In fact, on my father's way to America, he stopped by in Radin, you know, to get a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim. Yeah, no, it's true. I'm not. Now you can see what the Chafetz Chaim looks like for 6 seconds. You can get a video of the Chafetz Chaim. Yesterday I saw a video of the Ponovitch Rav back in Ponovitch. Standing around with his Talmidim explaining them a sugya. I mean, you couldn't hear, there was no sound, but it was just exciting to see it. V'chein kosav b'sefer shulchanei shulchan atzei shitim u'b'chayot v'chein nochem nidl ha'maisa v'ayin be'er haloch. Okay, so he tells you to look in the be'er haloch, and that's what we want to do because he told us to look. So we're going to do what he told us. So we're looking at Hadachasam. I am a Mishnah Berurah Shebitzonei Mutter V'chein Mashav V'Beis Yosef V'chein Kosev El Yorab V'Shem Aprisho V'Tosef V'Shav V'Sef V'Maisar Okeh V'Shachronim V'Isim V'Primagodim Sherotze L'Chadesh Dovar D'Mishum She'eno Yochel Lechol Klal B'Li Adocha Chiyuvo Mishum Makev V'Patish U'Mishum Zeh Makshal V'Beis Yosef V'Apadis Tamay Mutter Bitzonei. Pillay plum, I will say. You can mamish taste olam hava with this line that we just learned. This is so gishmak. He's saying the following. The distinction between tzonen and cham is only relevant in Hilchas Bishul, but it's not relevant in makav patish. Makav patish meaning taking something and perfecting it, completing it. What difference does it make if you use cold water or hot water? That whole distinction is only relevant to Melechus Bishul, the Prima Godim, therefore doesn't understand the Beis Yosef. because the prima got him read the Gemara, and the Gemara says Hadachasim Zui Gemar Malachtam, and he understood that that's the Gemar Malach of Moleches Makim Patish. That the Gemara says, I think it's on Daf, if I'm not mistaken, on Daf Ayin Hayam Beis, or maybe it's Tzadi Hayam Beis. I don't remember. I'll have to look it up. That what is Makim Patish? It's Gemar Malach. If somebody could open up the Gemara here, maybe Ben, I can trouble you. But see if you can find the marble.
That it's a Makim Patish of Bishop.
Where am I? Yeah, so for this, that's a separate topic that we have to take up. There's Yushalmi that says that every single Malach of the 39 has a Makim Patish to it. When you complete any one of the 39 Malachas, you chayv Mishum Makim Patish. That's a Yushalmi.
Where am I looking up around?
So take a look on Daf Tzadi Heyam and Beis and see if you see Makim Patish. And if it's not Tzadi Heyam and Beis, then it's Ayin Heyam and Beis. It just slips my mind now. All right. V'nishar b'kusha v'hini b'levush. You know, Levush wrote his own Shulchan Aruch, but the Beis Yosef beat him to it, and he published his before Levush got to publish his. But the Levush is much more of a Lamdisha kind of Shulchan Aruch. You know, it's really like an Achronish Sefer with Pilpulim. Z'reishi Shekosav le'inyan Shriyas Dover Kosha t'chiyuvo hu bishum make bepatish. So he accepted the sheet of the Prima Gadim, except he was 200 years before the Prima Gadim. The Chofetz Chaim is not happy with this at all. You look at the Mishonim carefully. We're talking about Bishul, Ratzalomar. And the Mishonim are going to ask the question, why is there no Makam B'Patish? Okay, he doesn't spell it out, but he says there's no Makam B'Patish. It could be that he means it's not a Meleches Umnus, you don't need a professional for that. Makam B'Patish requires a certain professional. It could be he means that Ochlin are not subject to Makam B'Patish, it's only physical objects. So again, keep in mind the Mishnah Berurah has vested interest here, because he wants to allow pouring cold water onto herring on Shabbos.
But he said
herring is very important for the Mishnah.
He said that herring may be edible.
Oh, that is true. But I think he's saying that even if it's not edible, you're allowed to pour the cold water. Oh, wait. I think Shmuel, when he said it might be edible, it's edible if you soak it in cold water. Wait, let's go back to the Mishnah Berurah and see exactly what he said over here. Where's our herring here? Get back to our herring here. Wait. Just 1 second. Let me read this again. He says, okay, so he is saying that you need sonim. You need some adocha. You don't have to put it into hot water, but you need cold water. Did I miss anything?
And if you can do it the job with cold water, then doing it with hot water isn't a problem.
No. Oh, just 1 second.
Yiruni Klisheni is okay.
Right.
If you could have done it with cold water.
Right. Absolutely.
Even cold if like it would have taken longer with the cold water.
Right. Yeah, he does add Lefa'amim. That's what Shmuel was referring to. Lefa'amim af b'liyad docha. Yeah, but again, he's not saying it's always edible.
That wasn't a good batch anyhow.
Right. Butel adicho af b'mayim chamim.
That means it didn't need bishul anything.
Yeah, now wait a second. Keep in mind that the Mishnah Berurah is pushing for the heter to pour mayim chamim from a klisheni onto our herring.
Yeah.
But at the same time, even if you'll fight him on that, he still would allow you to pour mayim tzonin in.
Or soak, even.
In other words, if you're going to debate back and forth about the status, well, this is the name of the article, right? We're going to publish a PhD. This is called The Status of Herring in Our Time, right? He's saying that even if you'll argue with me that our herring is like their herring, or like their daga spino, and then it's kali abishal, ifo adocha, b'mayim sonin, b'mayim chamin is awesome, but sonin for sure is mut. And that's what he's saying here in the name of all the Rishonim, that we're not talking about Makav HaPatish here. Makav HaPatish is inapplicable here. Again, we're not sure why, but it's not applicable. And once you nix Makav HaPatish and you're left with Bishul, there's no such thing as Bishul Mavayim Sonanim. So there's no way under the heavens that you could fight with me, says the Mishnah Berurah, about soaking herring in Mayim Sonanim. And all this business with the Lavush and the Prima Godin, forget that, he's saying. Very beautiful. He's saying that the Gemara wanted to compare it to the case of Beitza Bitzad HaMecham, where he's Megalgil the Beitza. And that again is Bishul. So obviously the Gemara is equating apples and apples, not apples and oranges. The Gemara is not coming with Dagma Ispinin, which is Moleches Makav HaPatish, to compare it to Beitza, which is Moleches Bishul. And I would even go a step further here to clarify the Mishnah Berurah's point. I would say that don't even entertain the idea that Beitza Bitzad HaMecham is Makav HaPatish. I'll tell you why, because there we're talking about Gilgal. Gilgal for sure is not Gemar Malacha. It's only that we, as we discussed in great length, you know, certain people would eat it even though it's partially cooked. That's not Gemar Malacha, no way, no how.
Doesn't it depend on how quickly you remove the egg? You leave an egg.
No, he's talking about the Mishnah is talking about a case where Kadesh is Galgil. That the Mishnah is saying, or he pulled it away quickly. I don't know. I'm not sure.
More like the rest of the Mishnah, where the cooking methods are relatively ineffective.
Correct. So the whole Yisod here in the Suffolk and the Gemara about Gilgal Beitza was because he doesn't really complete the process of Bishul. You can't, no way, no how, that you could say that's Makav HaPatish. Like the whole lovers was, do you consider Bishul or the Ritva's understanding that it's a Toldos Ha'esh? And now the Gemara is going to use Kuyas HaSpinon in order to prove the din of Rav Yosef, the Yechayv Chatas, for Gilgal Beitza Mitzad HaMecham. What Shaychus would it be? What kind of an equation would it be if you tell me that Daga Ispin and Yechayv Yishu Makav HaPatish, therefore ipso facto you'll be Chayv HaChatas for being Megalgal Beitza Mitzad HaMecham, which is Moleches Bishul. You're comparing apples and oranges. So that's how I would enhance this Mishnah Berurah here. For sure, we're talking about Moleches Bishul. And Rav Osai, what Rav Salvechik is going to do in his article, which I'm hoping in the next few minutes we'll get to, he's going to explain why the Mishnah uses the term Gmar Malachton with regard to Moleches Bishul. It's a little bit confusing. It certainly sent the Levush and the Prima Godin down the wrong track, according to this Mishnah Berurah, into thinking that we're dealing with Makav HaPatish. What was the terminology here, Gmar Malachton? Okay, so that we'll get to soon. So for sure you can't argue with me about soaking the herring in cold water. I'm just wondering if there were people back in Litta who got nervous about soaking herring in cold water. I don't know. Mind-boggling what he could say in one breath. And it's historically it's mind-boggling, because back in the day, you're talking 100 and, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, whenever he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, you have to figure it out. Who looked into the Arzavua? Into Rabbeinu Yeruchah? Into the Reim? to Meiri. I mean, these were Sfarim that were rare and hard to come by. And your biggest lamdim at Rosh Yeshiva back in Litta, they never looked at these Sfarim. He took it upon himself, the Chafetz Chaim, to write the Mishnah Berurah. By the way, he didn't want to do it. Rabbi Chaim Ozer insisted that he's the only one who can do it. He would have rather stayed in learning and said Shiurim. But he took it upon himself, and as a result, I think he looked at all these Sfarim, which were never on the table of any of these Yeshivas. Today already it's a little different. Rav Lichtenstein, for example, Zichron Lebracha. I mean, to him, the Rav Yah and the Arzarua and all these Sfarim are like, you know, open up on the table, everyday Sfarim. I mean, who ever looked in an Arzarua? You walk into any yeshiva today, you'll be lucky if they ever heard of the Rav Yah. Who looks into Rav Yah? And these were Rishonim.
The Meiri was even relatively new.
The Meiri already is slowly, slowly becoming, you know, part of the curriculum. When I was in Rav Soloveitchik's year and somebody got up and quoted a Meiri, like the Rav looked at him like he's crazy. Like, who's the Meiri?
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Really?
It doesn't talk
and if the Meiri said something that would support Rav Soloveitchik, oh, let me see it. You know, but the Meiri was like from the Arabian Nights. Who looked at the Meiri? The Rav had it in against the Meiri for another reason, I think, because the Meiri is more or less an anthology.
Right.
But the truth is that history bears out that the Rav was wrong about this. That the Meiri is much more than an anthology. The Meiri is not just a summary of what came before. There are chidushim and original insights in the Meiri. Trouble is, you have to find them. It's very hard. It's like going fishing, you know, in the deep sea. Shemikula mashvel ahedjet chiyuva dafka bechamin mishum mevash. V'gam ledaitu shalavusha primogodim koldova shenigmar tikkuni lachila yidei zepu'ula af im lo nuchal lechayv mishum mevash lechayvenu mishum akim bepatish imkein amai omar shom begumar debetsa shetzolol sa bechol bavak drochim hurak isu derabonon. The Einatole de Sa'ur. Beautiful cash. Beautiful cash. See, this cash alone would make the Chafetz Chaim worthy of being appointed as the Rosh Hashiva. Because the Chafetz Chaim is saying that if you're dealing with Makom HaPatish, then what difference does it make what method you use to achieve the Makom HaPatish? We said even Sonen could be awesome. And not only that, we should say that if you put it into what's called Tolfas HaChama, which is sand that was heated up by the sun, that's an Issur d'Rabbanan to take your egg and submerge it, because that one element, into this very hot sand that was heated up by the sun, and that's called Toldos HaCham, which is also d'Rabbanan according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yossi. Why is it an Issur d'Rabbanan? According to the Prima Gadol Levush, it should be d'Oraisa. It's Makom HaPatish. Because once you're shifting your gears from Bishul to Makom HaPatish, the method that you arrive at the Gemara Melacha is totally secondary. I haven't yet seen the Mishnah Berurah raise the issue of Meleches Umnus, meaning in order to be in violation of Makom HaPatish, you need a Meleches Umnus. Okay, maybe not all Rishonim would maintain that. By the way, we have to find the quote. Can pass it over. Just if you could put it down over here. Because I don't want to lose my place here.
Good luck.
Let me see if it's on Daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis. Yeah, here it is. Daf Hey Amid Beis. Ayin Hey Amid Beis. Want to make a note of this, Rabbi? Say this is a Gemara that's kedai to see. And we're fast, you know, this fast forward to Periklal Gadol. He says, Rav of Rav Zera Diamri Chavai Komidi de Ispe Gmar Malacha Chayav Mishum Makom HaPatish. Ayin Hey Amid Beis, 75b. It's about 2/3 down the page. The Ode, Amai Omar Shom Bedav Kuf Nun Hey, Huvala Kamon, Besivin Shin Chavdal, Shivui Ochla Mashvinon, is nechayev also mishumak v'patish kevon shehu hishva dover zeli ochel. I'm not sure exactly what he means here because I haven't seen the sugya daf kufnun he. Oh, now, oh, this is a punchline. Elavadai. So Ben, I found this Gemara while you were gone. I underlined it for you. Here, take a look. You want to grab it and make a note of it. It's a very important Gemara. Elavadai to be yonim elu shel ochel lo shayach shem makav apatish. I would underline that word. So he's being mechadish a gevaldig a chiddush here that makav apatish does not apply to ochel. He doesn't really tell you why. Vehinei aprima godim. Tola atzmo b'sefer paradise. V'yomish zeu daito. The dovish eni yochel lechol b'liadocha. Chiyuvi shumakim patish. V'eichshu halo paradise b'atzmo kosev. Divitzonei mutter. So if the paradise was really of the opinion that we're dealing with makim patish, then how could he be matim bitzonei? V'gam yesh b'zai richus dvar mibera divrei paradise v'en kamakomo. Ve'akach matzasi b'sefer nishmas adam shegam hu rotzel etzadei the dovish ani yochel lechol bli hadoch chiyuv mishumak apatish vishko bi'atzmo ma'ashek sheisi nidaf lamentes tiyomer sham afana namitnina v'chanal. In other words, how can you compare beitza and mecham with dago spinus v'dochet binyam aliyach hayoshan v'kuyas ispinin Hayyochol lecho mitchilos al yidei tchak lekach no luchal lechayev achkach mishum makim bepatish.
So there's an opinion that any of the third day of Malacha can be considered makim bepatish.
Well, that's not explicit in the Bavli that I showed you. That's explicit in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi tells the whole story that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were learning Chavrusa for 3 years straight to try to figure out all the toldos. And when they got to certain toldos and they couldn't subsume it under any other avos, they said, well, if it's the Gemara Malacha, then he's chayav mishum makav patish. As if makav patish is like a potpourri, you know, it's sort of like a kol boimik, that, you know, whatever you can't fit into any other Malacha, you fit into Gemara Malacha, which is makav patish. Chayin kosbi arzorua, de maliach ayosha mitchila eina nechal klal. V'yim ken ki hechi desham Chiyuvu rak mishum mavash lo mishum makav patish. Hu adin lechol dovish eni yochel lechol machas milcho. Shisavakot chiyuvu gam ke mishum makav patish. Mavash lo mishum makav patish. Vemele davka bechamin. Vechein mash bebir agro. Shetam echad lishneim. Ayotsu midvarenu diinyin makav patish. Bedover ochel. Hu dover chodesh lo nimtza beposkiv. Viyadar ish kam astiris lizek. Kmo shekasavti lamal vakenei lahachmir badochas tzonein b'shum gavne kei niril and yuzdaiti b'ezra Hashem. He gets very frum here at the
end. On your herring, no problem.
Cold water is certainly no problem. Iri klisheni, he's in favor of it, the Mishnah Berurah, but he does seem to imply that there's some shadow there lurking in the distance that maybe they are, you know, they're opposed to it. Okay, Rabbi, so now the article that I gave you, and I hope you have that photocopy, and it should appear on page Kuf Chaf and Kuf Chaf Al. B'din Bishol B'kalia Bishol. So you may recall, I'm not going to read this together with you word for word, but what I'm going to try to do is, as I go along, summarize his main points and highlight them. You may remember that he quotes Tosus to the effect that klisheni is a problem for kaliyah bishul. Again, iri klisheni is allowed, but soaking it in a klisheni is not allowed. And the impression you get is that we're dealing with a malacha doraisa here. And even though klisheni is not mevashel, but in these cases of kaliyah bishul, there's something called Gmar Malacha, which, as we saw in the Bir Halacha, very clearly means that you took something that was unedible and you made it edible. And Yichai Mishum Bishul. Is what comes out of this is the following. We have this balloon, so to speak, and now you puncture the balloon and the air starts coming out. The balloon is a Klal Gadol B'chol Makom. It's this gigantic, what do they call those things? The, you know, the advertisements. The
billboard.
What's it called?
Billboard.
No. The flying
blimp,
thing.
The blimp.
Yeah, you have this gigantic blimp. Okay, and it says on it, no bishul b'kli sheni. And now, all of a sudden, the blimp is kind of like hinkabink, you know, it's kind of limping away here. He says, B'derek klal, klisheni is not mevasho. B'derek klal, meaning that's the general rule, but every general rule has an exception to it. Yesh dvarim shemisbashlim gamkein b'klisheni. Okay? So we have here kali abishul, and they can be cooked in a kli, in a klisheni. Oh. Now he asks his kasha, we're on page Kuf Chaf Aleph, which I think is the flip side of your page. And he says the following. I don't get it. B'kola Torah kula, kaimalon, klalahu, the cliche and vasha. And he gives an example. Cliche and vasha. Yoredeya simon kuf hei sif beis. Okay, now I have here on a different page, which is called Kuf Lamed Hei. Thank you. Which you don't have. But if you'd like, we'll photocopy this later. Here on this page, Kuf Lamed Hei, in the same Sefer Hari Kedem, he quotes Yoredeya Siman Kuf Hei. And it says over there that there's no Blias Isurim in a Kli Sheni. So let's say, for example, if I were to put nevela, I think I mentioned this yesterday, and soak it in a kli sheni, it's boiling hot water, that kli is still kosher. I can cook anything I wanted. I don't need what's called hechsher kalim. I don't have to take it for hagol. Not only that, it's quite possible that if I soak a piece of meat in hot milk in a klisheni, I'm allowed to eat that meat. Could be. Again, I'm not possible.
If we klisheni, mevashel kedei klip.
Oh, okay. So you're right. You're right. You have to go through the halachas of klisheni. And he says the reason for this is because klisheni is not mevasha. And it's not mavliya. There's no bliya. So he says, if that be the case, how could there be bishul of kalia bishul on Shabbos in a cliche? Now, I would add the following, which I think he says somewhere, but I don't find it now. There's a shita in Achronim, I think it might be Rabbi Kivega, that in Basa B'chol of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, which would mean if, let's say, Reuven cooked meat and milk together in a pot and it reached the point of Kimaichel Ben Josai, Shimon took that mixture of meat and milk and he cooked it K'day Kol Tzarko, Bishol Kol Tzarko, he would not be chay. Shimon would not be chay because ain bishul achar bishul. And yet, the Rambam at least is of the opinion that in such a case on Shabbos he would be chay. Reuven cooked it to Kimaichel ben Josai. Shimon took it from Michael ben Josai up to Kol Tzarko, and Shimon is going to be chay as well.
And that's Rambam's reason for din is that's a tikkun.
Excellent! Wow! Is this based on what we've said in the past or what you did just yesterday? How that was very impressive, man.
No, I remember when we got.
Oh, okay, good. Excellent. So that's what we really. That's the punchline of today's shiur. So he says the following. This is on Kuf Chaf Aleph, the page that you have, the big paragraph that starts Al Kein Nirin. And he says the following. This is what you call a brisket tzvei dinim, if you're familiar with that. Two different dinim. He says, as far as kol haTorah kula is concerned, klisheni einu mevasha. Le'inyan basa b'cholov. Right, you put the meat and the milk in a klisheni. It's not basa b'cholov. Korban Pesach. The Torah prohibits us from cooking in Korban Pesach. You cook the meat of the Korban Pesach in a klisheni, you don't violate the law of Motno Mevushim. That is the general, universal rule that klisheni ainu mevashim. And here he adds, again, a brisket type of language, Vehu hafka alpi din. Yeah, I'd love you to underline this, only because I want you to get the terminology, not just for this. That, you know, if it was only this sugya that we're learning, I wouldn't ask you to underline it. But if this gives you tools, you know, I have a series on the YU Torah called Tools for Brisk. You know, these are methodological tools.
That, is that recording or written?
It's all recorded shiurim that I gave in Lander College and back in the Vaseret, where I was Rashi for 18 years. Anyway, for who afka al pi din? This afka al pi din. What does he mean al pi din? He's talking here to Dr. Joel. Because Dr. Joel yesterday was looking at it from a biological perspective. And the physics of it is that you're cooking in a klisheni. You can't tell me you're not cooking in a klisheni. The water is boiling hot. You tell me the food you put into that water knows that it's only a klisheni, and therefore decides I'm not gonna let myself be cooked. But it's afkal pidin. There are halachic legal regulations that govern what constitutes bishul. And klisheni is mufka. Is halachically excluded mitores bishul. Why? Because the halach has a standard and a definition of what constitutes a maisa bishul. Klisheni is not a maisa bishul. If you want to say it balabatish, not in conceptual terms, you could say that most people, when they cook in a kli rishon. This is an unusual kind of cooking, and the law doesn't recognize the unusual type of cooking.
Could you say it's a shinui?
Kind of like a shinui. It's a shalom kidarko. It's like, for example, if you cooked an egg, where would you cook it? How would you cook it? In a pot. No, when the last time you cooked an egg. Did anybody here ever cook an egg in the sun? You could cook an egg in the sun. I don't know how tasty it'll be. But nobody cooks in the sun. So there's a bishul b'chama, it's mutar on Shabbos. It's so dissimilar, if there's such a word in English, it's so dissimilar to your classical maisa bishul that it's not a maisa bishul. El deshaini maliach yoshev akuyus espino. Now wait a second, we're boxed into a very difficult corner over here. We've just established that bishul b'klisheni is not a maisa bishul. So now you have your dag ispinin, and you're telling me that there's a chiyuv chatos for taking the dag ispin and then soaking it in a klisheni. How could that be? There's no maisa bishul. Every malacha, the 39 malachas, requires a maisa. Maisa zriya, a maisa harisha, a maisa bishul. What are you telling me here? And the answer is, as Ben said before, hadachosam, the bishul, the klisheni, Zui gmar malachton veheim enon srichim tikkun yosem, he said. Which word do you want to emphasize here?
Tikkun.
That's your big word in Hilchos Shabbos. Malachas Machshavas, tikkun. Mishum hachil in Shabbos, this is again a brisket type of structure called a din mesuya, meaning it's a special din. Yesh lezeh chashiva shel malachas mevasha. And I would emphasize another word here in this last line. Which word? Meleches. There's Maisa Bishul and there's Meleches Bishul. Maisa Bishul, the emphasis is on the method. Meleches Bishul, the emphasis is on the product, the final product. What we call in Hebrew the Totza'ah. V'zeh also Mishum Bishul. V'zeh din miyuchad b'meleches Shabbos. Again, emphasize the word Meleches Shabbos. To be kevon davi tikkun, choshev ki kol tikkun shel bishul bi'alma. We upgrade it to the status of bishul, even though it's lacking in the mice of bishul. And now he introduces Ben's term of meleches machshevus. Yesh bazeh meleches machshevus shel bishul. It doesn't have the mice of bishul, but it has the meleches machshevus of bishul. And here's where Rav Soloveitchik needs desperately to find a precedent for this. Where do we find a precedent that in Hilchos Shabbos we have new definitions that are generated by the concept of malacha as opposed to the maisa itself? which makes Shabbos a very unique lechumradik kind of status or a world unto its own, where do you find such a thing? And if I would have written the text, I'll tell you where I would have pointed to. Bava Kama Daf Samach. Do you remember that Gemara? We made a big deal about it back in Elul. Melech Zoreh. Do you remember winnowing? So he throws the grain up in the air, and the wind carries the chaff. And he's chayv a melacha. No rice for that. Who did the melacha? The wind did the melacha. That's called Melech Machshavos. But he quotes a different source. And this is the Gemara at the end of Perek HaBoneh, which is the Perek that I teach twice a week at 11:45. And the Gemara there is dealing with a melacha called Kosev. And he's got he has a ches on a parchment. Now, if you know enough about writing, you will know that a ches is really two zayinim. You take a zayin and another zayin, you combine them together, you got a ches. And what he did was, nitolo legago shel ches. He removed a certain amount of ink on the parchment of the ches, and he ended up with two zayinim. Who chayev? Mind boggling. You know, the shear of Meleches Kosev is how many osios? Two. So the minimum shear is two osios. He didn't write any osios. He just removed the gag in such a way that what was left on the parchment was two zayinim.
And that's what he wanted. He wanted two zayinim.
And that's what he wanted. He needed desperately two zayinim. Let's say, for example, the original sofer, or maybe he himself, accidentally combined the two zayinim and made it into a ches. Right? Now he's got to get two zayinim. He needs two zayinim. The word on the page is zaz. And he has a ches on the page. So he removes the gago and he ends up with two zayinim. And the Gemara says that he's chayev. And the Ran fights tooth and nail against a whole group of Rishonim who say that from this we can derive conclusions about writing a get. The Torah says in Parshas Ki Tetzev, a Kosav law say for Christmas. And you need writing of a get. You can't produce a get in a machine. That's not going to cut the mustard. So you need ksima. What happens if he removes something from the parchment, from the niyar, and he ends up with the right letters? Would that be considered a get that's kosher? Does that constitute ksiva? And that's called chok tochos in a conceptual sense. What's chok tochos? Imagine if you have a flat surface. So there are two ways of creating letters. One is to add ink, and the other is, again, it doesn't fit with every reality, but let's say it was a soft ground and you're writing on the ground. You could depress the ground around the letter, and the part of the ground that was there before now protrudes. You didn't add anything. On the contrary, you subtract it. That's called chok tochos. And that, he says, is possible in get. There were those who wanted to say that it's kosher in get, based on this Gemara in Shabbos that says that you chayev for removing the gag of Shnei Zeinim. Because the equation is that just like in the case of removing the gag of Shnei Zeinim, of the ches, and making Shnei Zeinim, he didn't add anything to make the ksiva, so too in the case of Chok Tochos, he doesn't add anything. But at the end of the day, what is he left with? He's left with the right letters. And if you chayev Melech HaShabbos, it proves that it constitutes a Maisa Ksiva, and therefore it's considered a Maisa Ksiva because of, as far as get, he says, no! You have no right to make that equation. In universal definition of ksiva, this would not be a ksiva. But in Shabbos you chayev. Why? And the answer is, says the Ran, and this is the Ran's language, you know, this is almost 1,000 years ago. No, it's less than that. The Ran was a late Rishon. So he says, Dilagabi Shabbos, lekuk peda ben chok tochas lechok yirechos. Chok yirechos is when you add the ink. There's no difference. What do we look at? The final product. The totza'ah. Or the tikkun. Or the meleches machshevis. It's called heichad ha'avi meleches machshevis chayev. Vahainu. Now the Rav is embellishing the Ran. He's saying that Ikar hu atikun shel aksiva lo ichpas leikol kach b'maisa aksiva v'ofen aksiva atzma. And now that we have the Ran in our back pocket, now Hachinami, we can compare it to the case of Bishul, that Moleches Bishul einaf gemina kol kach begufa Bishul. We're not so concerned about the gufa Bishul. Ikrak peda hi al tikun shel Bishul. You see, this line in the Rav is the breakthrough, but it's very dangerous. Because if I take this line literally, I might say that Sonen could be Bishul. Or I might say that Chama could be Bishul.
It's the Tikkun.
If it's the Tikkun and the ultimate product I can achieve in so many different ways, then would I'd be Chai from Alech as Bishul? Abracadabra, let's say I was a magician. And I could take raw food and speak a few secret words, and all of a sudden it's cooked. So that would be Malechas Bishla Bichayv on Shabbos? I don't think so. So you do need some sort of Maisa Bishla. So the Rav is going to argue that cliche is a beginning of a Maisa Bishla. It's a fledgling or some sort of external kind of a Maisa Bishul. Again, in Kol Torah Kula, it doesn't qualify as a Maisa Bishul. But if I look at the Maisa Bishul in context of the Totsah, which in Shabbos is critical because of Malachas Makshavas and Tikkun, then I can upgrade that Miktas Maisa Bishul and make it into a Malach. But in Kol Torah Kula, where the Iker is the Maisa, the Torah says Lo Savashel Gediba Chalevimo, Klisheni is not a Maisa Bishul. So again, does Klisheni qualify as a Maisa Bishul? The answer is no. But on Shabbos, we're going to consider Klisheni as a quasi-Maisa Bishul. Vashal Kein, Mikavon, Dehoch, Rak Mikoch, Hashim, Shal, Bishul, Avelik, and Vashal, Lohochi, Boy, Bishul, Ma'alia. Here the Rav wants to go back to the original question, which was the Prima Gadim's question. Why does the Mishnah say, Shadachosim, Zui, Gmar, Malachton? Very confusing. It's very misleading. It sounds like you're dealing with which malacha? If you saw the Gemara in Ayin Heim and Beis, Makav Patish, no. Gemar malacha, says the Rav, means, Gemar malacha shall bishul havi lekim avashal. If we have this inferior, lower echelon status of the Mice of Bishul, because it's only a klisheni, what do we need to upgrade klisheni to bishul? We need an absolute bishul of Gemar malacha. Which means taking something from raw and unedible to the state of edible. Ah, that's called Gemar Malach. Why did the Gemara deliberately use that term Gemar Malach? Not to confuse us, but to let us know that if you want to talk about Bishul B'Klisheni, don't talk about a Miksas Bishul. Talk about a full-fledged Bishul. But Kana Ben Shoel, and I don't know why this question doesn't appear. I got to write a letter to the editor. Here's where we have to ask about the equation to Gilgul Beitza. We saw over and over again in the Rishonim, the Rebbe Lunil, and the Ran, you know, the Miuchas LaRan, and the whole bunch, that Gilgul Beitza is not a complete Bishul. But the answer the Rav is going to give is because that's called Toldus Ha'esh. And Toldus Ha'esh is a Maisa Bishul. In other words, if I were to take milk and meat, again, I don't know exactly how to organize this, orchestrate it. And I would somehow smack it up against the metal. You know, I'd take a piece of cheese, right? And I would flatten it out on a hot, hot metal surface that was heated by the fire. And then put a piece of meat on top of that cheese. And get myself a McDonald's cheeseburger, right? If I could have such a thing. Then I would be chayav for lo savashel gedima chalevim. Why? Because Toldos Ha'esh is a Maisa Bishul. But that's what I don't know. I'll tell you why I'm confused. Because I think it was you who mentioned over and over again, Shmuel, this concept of kavush. And the question is, kavush kemevushal, according to almost all the Rishonim, is not a violation of lo savashel gedima chalevim. I'm not telling you to eat it, but I'm saying it's not a violation of Bishul.
Right, even though it is with making things true.
So the question that I have is, at what point do you finally say, well, Adkan, this is no longer a Maisa Bishul? If you're going to tell me Toldos Ha'esh is a Maisa Bishul,
because it's a different love than Shabbat.
You see, I think I would say it like this. You see, in the case of Kavush, you don't really have an Esh. You have pickling,
and different, you know, spices and substance, shriya and so forth and so on. But you don't have ish. As soon as ish enters into the equation, you know, you invite him on stage, or her, I guess, because ish is feminine, right? Then the story changes. Even though, again, there's no ish here. I got this flat piece of hot metal, and I'm frying an egg with, you know, with cheese and meat on the flat hot metal. Where's the ish? I didn't see any ish. But the answer is, there was an ish. So that already introduces a mice of Bishol. I don't know. I'd be curious to see in the poskim if Kovash Kimavushal is not enough to generate Bishol in Basar Mechala as far as the Alav of Lo Savashal can be. What about Toldos Eish? Is Toldos Eish a special din in Shabbos, or does it apply universally in all Bishol? I took a Karban Pesach, and instead of cooking it, I put it on a piece of metal that was heated up by the fire. Would that be Bishol? Ah, that would be tzli. I see. Karban Pesach would not be a good proof. Karban Pesach would not be a good proof. Ah, so maybe that same... I'm just thinking out loud. I'm talking to myself, okay, if you don't mind. I mean, it's like a madman here, right? You're watching a madman talk to himself. But the good thing about it is that he doesn't talk back, you know what I'm saying? So that it could be that maybe in Basar Mecholah, Tzliya has the same status as Bishol. That itself is a big issue. But if Tzliya is enough to violate Basar Mecholah, then I have no claim over here, because then told us Aish in Basar Mecholah is Chayv B'Toras Tzli. So I don't really have a good case here. But again, just to summarize my confusion here, at what point do you say I have enough of Mice and Bishol that I can look at the final product, the Tikkun as we call the Lechem Hashem, and say, well look, it's Mevushal. In Klisheni, he's willing to say Rav Salvation that in Kol Tarku it's not a Mice and Bishol. And all of a sudden in Shabbos it qualifies a Mice and Bishol. That's Klisheni. Why? Because the Totsah is a Gemara Molach. Is he willing to say the same thing about Toldos Eish? I think that the Rav would say, if he was here in the room, that Toldos Eish is definitely a Mice of Bishol. And therefore, in the case of Gilgul Beitza, you don't need Gemar Malach. See, that, but now we get trouble because of the Ritva. But if you leave out the Ritva, who says that the whole deal in this Gemara back and forth is about the status of Toldos Eish, if you go with the other Rishonim who claim that the issue of Gilgul Beitza is because it's not completely cooked, then we're in real trouble here with Rav Salavitch, no? Because what's, again, it's apples and oranges. You have Kulius Ha'ispinim, which is Gmar Molocha Mamish. I'm going to have to say it a bit. He doesn't mean Gmar Molocha, that's the way you would serve it in a restaurant. He means that there are people who would eat it. Is that so? I mean, let's take a Spanish mackerel. See, I don't know, we have to go to Spain for this. I'm just kidding. But really, you know, you have to ask the chefs over here. This case of a fish that was salted for a long period of time, and now I soak it in a klisheni, hot water in a klisheni, and that's called gmar malachto. What does it mean, gmar malachto? Is it the same as mamish cooking it over the fire? That's what he means by Gmar Malachta, or he means Gmar Malachta, that it's enough.
That circles back.
It just became edible.
That circles back to Totsa'ah versus the mechanism to get there, ends versus the means. If it's all about the Totsa'ah and you're not concerned about the process.
Correct, but Rav Salvechik is very much on your line, but he adds the following proviso, that Totsa'ah has to be Gmar Malachta. You know, you've really completed it. Now, again, it could be he means something else, that it became edible, but if you don't say that, if he means Gmar Malach, that it's mamish perfect, and, you know, if you were opening up your own restaurant, this is the way you would serve these fish. You would take these fish, salt them for I don't know how many months or how many years, and then place them into a klisheni with hot water, and then serve it for the President of the United States. I don't know.
It could be
if that's what he, wait a minute, if that's what he's saying, Shmuel, yeah, then I have a problem, because I don't know if that proves a thing about Beitza. Because Beitzos, we said over and over again, only reach the state of Gilgul. As I stay in the Mishnah, I don't have to be Mechadish Nidusha. The Mishnah says, right? Let's read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "A nosin beitza mitzad hamecha b'shvil shetizgalgel." So it's only in a very early state of bishul. Now, if all the emphasis here is on the totzah, and therefore the case of daga espinon, it's got a gemar malacha mamish, so that the gourmet cooking can put this on the table in the fanciest restaurant. What's the fanciest restaurant here in Israel? I don't know anymore. It used to be in the Plaza Hotel. It was called Cow on the Roof. I'm really dating myself. I mean, Cow on the Roof was so fancy that if you got a phone call, they would bring the phone to your place. Not only that, the chef would come out and finish the cooking in this whole contraption right in front of your eyes. I went there once, but I wasn't paying the bills. I was being treated. I couldn't afford the Cow on the Roof. And the reason why it was called Cow on the Roof is it's a famous... what's the French guy's name? The painter, Chagall. There is a famous Chagall painting called Cow on the Roof, and they had a facsimile, a very good reproduction of Cow on the Roof, gigantic, because all of his paintings are gigantic. If you go to France and you see it, it's unbelievable. There's a museum dedicated to Chagall. Some of his paintings take up much this whole wall. And they had it right outside the entrance into the... So they called the Cow on the Roof. In any event, I would like to know, if you took Dag HaSpinah and you soaked it in a cliché hot water after salting it for 12 months, would you serve it in Cow on the Roof? I don't know what today's Cow on the Roof is.
Waldorf Astoria.
Oh yeah? Oh man. That must cost a lot of money to eat there. You know, you have to be rich, right? To stay there for a night, you probably have to be super rich. If that's what's going on over here with this Gemara Malacha, and all the emphasis is on the Totsah, not on the method, then I don't exactly understand the justification of the analogy to Gilgul Beitza. Gilgul Beitza is not the way you would serve an egg in the world of Astoria. I can promise you. If you were eating in the world of Astoria and they brought out a Beitza Megulgelis, you'd send it back. And you'd probably add, you owe me a pitsui for this.
All of the cases of the Mishnah, I think, fit according to the klal we were sort of learning from the Rambam. Maybe everything in this Mishnah is something that the people who are doing it like to eat it that way. The beitza is only mitgalgel, or in the sudarim, the silon doesn't really make the things all that hot. They're all not such a good derech bishul makach.
Compromise.
But people are doing it, and it's all melechet machshevet. They all mean it because they're going out of the way to get these odd things done on Shabbat.
I don't know. You see, the case of Yafkia Besudrin is probably a case of Toldos HaChama. Toldos HaChama, I mean, nobody would say is Doraisa. You know, the only question is, maybe we'll confuse Toldos HaChama with Toldos HaEish. So I don't know if we want to take that approach. Again, in the case of the Anshei Tveria, the violation here seems to be Hatmana. So again, we're dealing with the Drabonim. What the Rav is trying to deal with, and he's tackling such a difficult problem, is a malacha d'oraisa of bishul b'klisheni. It's almost a contradiction in terms, because the Rav has seduced us to the position, to accept the position that in Kol HaTorah Kulo, when the Torah defines bishul klisheni, ainu mevashel, period, and that's afka al pi din. So don't even begin to dream about klisheni as a mevashel. But Shabbos is something called Melechus Bishul. My problem is how then to justify the equation to Gilgul Beitza. Because the Rav is insisting that once it's the Totsah that powerfully influences, impacts on the Maisa, to upgrade the Maisa into a Maisa Melacha, it's got to be Gemara Melacha, says the Rav. And if it's got to be Gemar Melacha, I find it difficult to accept that in the case of Gilgul Beitza, that qualifies as Gemar Melacha. So I would rather, stop here, because if I, there's a phrase in English, if you're familiar, quit while you're ahead. And right now, I'm not sure if I'm ahead or behind, but at least I can quit. You know,
can
that
dosai ochel ben dosai, and that's considered a malacha? Like if you get something to
absolutely not,
no.
Absolutely not, but there you did a mice admission. So the Rav is saying that Lu Yitzuyer, you took a klisheni and you achieved Kemaychel ben Josai in a klisheni, you would not be chai. Why? Because the only bishon or klisheni is a Gemar Malachadik bishon. And with all the respect to mice, to Kemaychel ben Josai, that doesn't constitute a Gemar Malach. So again, you know, you have to keep in mind that there was a prima godim out there who took Gemar Malacha like to the wildest extreme. The Chofetz Chaim had to write 10 lines or 20 lines, you know, to knock out this prima godim and just say he's out of the box here. Because the prima godim read the Gemar Malacha and he put it together with the Sugya on Daf Ayin Hey, which says the Gemar Malacha is Makom HaPatish. So the Rav is now grappling. So what's Gemara Malachi? So he has a beautiful structure. He says, well, the Maisa Bishul in Klisheni is not really a bona fide Maisa Bishul. LMI, we're going to look at Totsah, and if all the emphasis shifts from the Maisa to Totsah, then the Totsah has to be a full-fledged Totsah. You know, the Richtung of the right way of doing it. It's got to be Gemara Malachi. That's what the Mishnah meant by Gemara Malachi. If that be the case, I'm still perplexed about the Tzushtel, as we call it in Yiddish, the analogy to Beitza Megulgelis. The Mishnah says explicitly it's a Gilgal Beitza. It's not the fully cooked egg. So where's the Gemara Malach? And we went out of our way to understand, according to Rishonim, that it's only Miktas Ha'am. You know, there are a certain minority, you know, the silent minority representative of the populace that would eat this Beitza Megulgelis. You know, maybe if you're Rocky and you need, you know, or you're a Chazan and you need it, so you'll eat it. But you and I would rather it, you know, we would send it back. I would send it back. You know, I love soft-boiled eggs, but it's got to be boiled. You know, don't give me this Gilgal business. You know what I'm saying? So where's the Gemara Malacha here? And the whole point of the sugya through that Mishnah of Kali Abishal to try to justify Rabbi Yosef's conclusion that Beitza Pitzad Amecham is a Chiyuv Chakas. Why? Where's the Gemara Malacha? So that's where I want to stop. Okay, Rabbi Yosef, I wish everyone a good